turn to the Lord in prayer. As we turn to His Word tonight, let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to Thy Word tonight. Help us in ourselves, but we thank Thee that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray, our God, that Thou wilt call men and women tonight through Thy Word, effectually to Thyself by Thy Spirit. Lord, we pray that tonight will be a night of nights in some heart, in some soul in this gathering. We pray that there'll be some person whom Thou wilt bring to Christ. To this end, bless the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the subject of real satisfaction. The subject of real satisfaction. You'll find the text tonight in the Gospel of John chapter 6, from which we have read earlier in the sermons. And the verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a wonderful text of Scripture this is. In the midst of a world where there is dissatisfaction, and so many people are dissatisfied, so many people in this world craving for satisfaction that this world can never give them, longing for that inward peace that they cannot find in the pleasures and in the things of this world. We look around us, and we see so many in that awful plight, in that desperate case, in that awful and pitiable situation in which they find themselves unable to find that which they desperately need amidst this world with all its entertainments and all its amusements and all its allurements. They cannot find that which their soul longs for. But my friend, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we proclaim tonight, in the message of the Lord Jesus, and in His salvation, there is found that which the soul desperately needs. Maybe you've come in here tonight, anxious, disturbed, distressed, even distraught, wringing your hands as far as this world is concerned, restless, uneasy, unable to find the way that you so desperately want to find. Jesus Christ is here tonight, and Jesus Christ is willing tonight to meet the need of your heart in this gospel service. We have often looked at dismay in this world, at those who crave for a crust of bread, desperate to have physically what we have in plenty. It is a most distressing sight to see people hunger. And it is still sadly happening in this world. The pangs of hunger are felt by so many. In the East, bread was the staple of life or the principal food of the people. All other dishes were considered as accessories. Therefore, bread had a sacredness of its own. And even today, if you're to go to the East, you will find that Jews or Arabs never tread a piece of bread underfoot. However soiled or contaminated it may be, they don't despise it. They don't disregard it. In fact, an Arab walking down a village street and seeing a piece of bread on the ground would be careful to pick it up and put it there, maybe in a niche in the wall, ready for some hungry beggar or dog to partake of. This view of the importance and sanctity of bread is expressed over and over again in God's precious Word, which is open before us tonight. So that the words of our Savior in this text tonight before us here carry an even greater significance when interpreted by the rest of Scripture. And of course, friend, if we know the Bible or if we have any knowledge of Scripture, we will know that Scripture interprets Scripture. It's how the Bible is interpreted through the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Needless to say, the bread of which our Lord was speaking in the passage before us here, the 6th chapter of John, was not the material bread that satisfies physical hunger, but that heavenly bread which satisfies the spiritual hunger of man. But just as the material bread is fundamental to man's physical life, so this heavenly bread is absolutely essential and crucial to man's spiritual life. And I want to speak about this bread tonight, because it is this bread, the bread of life, that you need. If you're not saved in this meeting, if you're not found in Christ in this church tonight, you need this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And here is this real satisfaction that you need tonight. And you can have ere you go out through the doors of this church tonight. You can know in your heart and experience in your life real satisfaction. I want to speak first of all about this bread and point out to you in the first instance that it supplies spiritual life. Look at verse 51 of John 6. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And this bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, in order to become the bread of life to men and women and young people who are spiritually dead, Christ was bruised for us. You turn to the Old Testament, to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 28. You have a wonderful verse of Scripture there, the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and the verse 28. And it reads like this, Isaiah 28. And verse 28. And the Scripture says this, bread, corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. You see, my friend, here is a picture in the Old Testament Scriptures, an important picture. It speaks of bread, corn, bruised. And before bread can be made, corn has to be crushed under the grindstone and then has to be mixed in the kneading trough. And this is a vivid picture here set before us in the Old Testament of the suffering through which our Lord had to go before he could provide spiritual nutrition for you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered. The Lord Jesus Christ was bruised. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, again a wonderful prophecy concerning the sufferings of Christ. It says this, listen to the words, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. On one occasion, an infidel fisherman or fireman rescued a little boy from a burning cottage. To do so, he had to climb up a hot piping. His hands were badly scarred. The woman who cared for the boy perished in the fire. And the question arose as to who would look after the boy, who would care for him. A couple came forward saying, we'd like to have him, we have plenty of money. We could give him a good education and a good home, a good start in life. And there were others too who offered him a home and said, well, they could do that for him. And the fireman spoke up. He said, I should like to have him. And he showed his scarred hands. All agreed that he had the greatest claim upon the child. Some objected, knowing that this man was an infidel, an unbeliever. However, the boy was adopted by the fireman, who proved to be a good father to him and loved him as his own child. And one day he took the boy to the art gallery, and the boy caught sight of a painting of Christ. Now, I'm not really on for paintings of Christ, but it's just the illustration. There was a painting of Christ on the cross, and the boy said to the man, who is that, Daddy? The man tried to silence the boy and quickly drew him away from the picture, which so impressed the child that he gave him no peace until he had heard the gospel story. As the man was saying that Jesus was led to the cross, and as he was relating the gospel story to the child, and that Christ was put on the cross for our sins, the truth of God's word came to his heart. And he believed himself. And he yielded to the one who has the greatest claim on each one of us, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was bruised for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, his hand, were nailed to the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for you and for me. But not only was Christ bruised for us, but of course the scripture indicates that Christ was baked for us. You see, in the Old Testament you have a series of offerings in the book of Leviticus. And one of those offerings there is the meat offering. And it mentions in Leviticus 2 and 4, and you can check it for yourself. It speaks there of a meat offering baking in the oven. My friend, here we have a picture, again, of what Christ endured. What transpired in the darkness of that oven of God's holy wrath will never be understood fully by our finite minds. All we know is that in the heat of that indescribable experience that the Son of God cried out in those hours of darkness, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Someone has written, yet once Emmanuel's orphan cry the universe has shaken. It went up single, echoless, my God, I am forsaken. It went up from his holy lips amid his lost creation that no one else need ever cry, that cry of desolation, because the Lord Jesus Christ bore God's wrath on Calvary's cross for you and for me. Christ was bruised for us. Christ was baked for us. But Christ was broken for us. Speaking of his death, he could say through Paul, 1 Corinthians 11:24, this is my body, which is broken for you. by being bruised and baked and broken for us, the Lord Jesus Christ became for us the bread of life. And he could say, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Will you look up into his face tonight, right now, and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for being bruised. I thank you for being baked and broken for me. And I now receive you as the bread of life. Will you do that tonight? During a fearful famine in India, some years ago, a missionary visiting around the villages met a boy who was nothing but skin and bone. He ordered him to go at once to the mission compound and ask for food. The boy pleaded that he would not be admitted and he needed some authorization. So the missionary, taking a slip of paper, addressed a note to the storekeeper and handed it to the boy, saying, that is my promise of food for you. Take it. Several days later, the boy was found dead with a piece of paper perforated and tied around his neck. He had never acted upon the promise. He had never appropriated what would have been the means of life for him. How many are dying today because they will not act upon God's promise? Because they will not come and partake of the bread of life as it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you die tonight in your lost condition for want of the bread of life? Or will you act upon the promise and take of that bread tonight and live? And I want you to see, secondly, it's not only the supplier of spiritual life, but it sustains spiritual life. Look again at the 6th chapter of John's Gospel at the context. In verse 57, it says, as a living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. Now, why the supply of life is communicated the moment the Savior, the sinner, appropriates Christ as the bread of life, this new life grows and develops only as the believer continues to feed upon Christ. It's interesting to notice that the Lord Jesus intends us to feed on Him even as He fed upon the Father. Listen again to the words of verse 57 of John chapter 6. The living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. How did Jesus live by the Father? First of all, by feeding on the Word of God. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was attacked by Satan in the wilderness in that temptation? He answered those vicious attacks of the devil by the Word of God. You see, the Word of God was that which sustained spiritual life. Jesus was teaching that material bread is not sufficient. Man must feed continually on that bread that comes from God if his spiritual life is to be sustained. Jeremiah must have known something of this in his experience when he said in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Are you feeding upon the word? Are you sustained by the word of God? Is the Word of God your constant nourishment? In France there lived a poor blind girl who obtained the Gospel of Mark in raised letters in the Braille and learned to read by the tip of her fingers. Of course, that's a wonderful thing. Many people can do that today. And by constant reading, by this means, her sense of touch diminished until she could not distinguish the characters. One day she cut the skin from the ends of her fingers to increase the sensitivity, only to destroy it. She felt that she must give up her book, her precious book, the book of God, and weeping, she pressed it to her lips, saying, "Farewell, farewell, sweet word of my heavenly Father." But to her surprise, her lips were more delicate than her fingers. And she discerned through her lips the form of the letters. All night she perused with her lips the Word of God and was overflowing with joy at her new acquisition. You see, the Word of God was that which sustained her. And my friend tonight in this meeting, if you're a Christian, the Word of God ought to be your constant delight. Are you reading the Word? Are you in the Word? Are you sustained by the Word? Feeding on the Word of God, but not only feeding on the Word of God, but feeding on the will of God. In John 4 and 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And as He fulfilled the divine will, so His soul was fed by His heavenly Father. And similarly, for us to fulfill God's will in everything is to prove what it is to be sustained by the bread of life. The sustaining quality of the bread of life. A great missionary to Africa, David Livingstone, pioneer missionary, he said this, and I quote, "I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than in the throne of England out of the will of God. I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than on the throne of England out of the will of God." And if we are feeding upon the will of God, that will be what we will say, the desire of our hearts. But then it's also by feeding on the work of God. And once again, the words of Jesus were these, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That's what Jesus said. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, worked to a heavenly program. He was never ahead of His time. He was never behind time. Each day His work was carefully planned. It was thoroughly done. Everything was done in its place. In fact, on one occasion, when His respected mother suggested He perform a miracle before the appointed moment, He said in John chapter 2, verse 4, "Mine hour is not yet come." And as He did each day's work, so He found the doing of His task for God food for His soul. Eating of Christ. Partaking of Christ day by day as the bread of life involves meditation on the Word, yes. It involves dedication to His will, yes. But it also involves consecration to His work. Our life's work is a complete whole, yet it is made up of little things, good works, which we are to perform during the course of our Christian pilgrimage. We are God's workmanship, Paul says, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Paul uses this Greek word from which we derive the English word poem. A famous Russian was working on a mosaic, a a copy of an old oil painting which was in a famous cathedral. And he was putting in the tiny pieces of marble, one by one, to carry out the beautiful design. Someone approached him. And looking on, they said, "Is this not a fearfully dull, uninteresting work?" "No, not at all," the artist replied. "For you see, it's a work for eternity. And my friend, the work that we are engaged in for the Lord Jesus Christ as believing people of God, as those who are saved by the grace of God, it's a work for eternity. It's the work that you and I are involved in for the kingdom of heaven. Are you involved? Are you engaged in this work? This is what God has called us to." And then I want you to see finally tonight that this bread of life, it satisfies spiritual life. Verse 35 of John chapter 6. Look at the context again and see the words. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Man's deepest hunger is spiritual. We touched on this at the commencement. Whether or not he knows it, he hungers for God. He hungers for truth. He hungers for life. No matter where you travel in this world, you will see that hunger displayed. Whatever else he has in the world, he will never be satisfied until he has the answer to this threefold spiritual hunger. Material things can never fill the soul of man. Things to eat and to see and to wear, or things to do. Neither can the human soul be filled with another human soul, for one empty vessel cannot fill another empty vessel. No wonder Augustine expressed it, "Thou hast made us from thyself, and our restless souls can find no rest until they find their rest in thee." Cannot find rest until they find rest in Christ. But the glory of the gospel is this tonight. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Christ we proclaim from this pulpit tonight. That Jesus Christ, and in Him can your spiritual hunger be satisfied. And it can be satisfied tonight, even now, in this meeting. Praise His wonderful name. As the bread from heaven, He satisfies our hunger for God, and our hunger for truth, and our hunger for life. Will you partake of Christ? The hunger for God, verse 33. Notice the words again. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And this quest for God is universal. Even the worship of the pagan idols witnesses to the fact that the human soul hungers for God. And that is true both in the so-called depths of heathenism and at the heart of civilization. Man has a vast capacity for God, and therefore a vast emptiness without Him. And that emptiness is displayed and demonstrated all around us in this world. But Jesus Christ answers the hunger with these remarkable words: "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Hunger for God. Hunger for truth. Look at verse 32. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Moses gave you not the true bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And you know, from childhood to manhood, man has an insatiable hunger for truth. And the tragedy is that instead of being satisfied with the true bread from heaven, thousands upon thousands today in this world are feasting upon false bread supplied by the devil himself. Instead of feeding at the Father's table, they attempt to fill themselves like the prodigal with the husks that the swine did eat. Like the prodigal son, they're perishing with hunger. Is that you tonight? Perishing at the swine troughs of this world. perishing in your sin. You need to come to the Father's house. For only in the Father's house is there bread enough and to spare. And why need you perish with hunger when there's such provision there in the gospel of Christ? True bread fills the mind with knowledge, the heart with happiness, the will with liberty. Oh, that you might partake of this true bread tonight. The hunger for truth. But then there's a hunger for life. Jesus said in our text, I am the bread of life. Man is hungry for life. He cannot laugh or labor or love unless he has life. He fights for life. And you see men and women in hospital beds and they fight for life. And yet this world and so many others would treat life so cheaply and say, well, at our whim we can take away life and we can dispense with life and we can terminate life. Whether it be in the womb or whether it be at the end of some illness that people have or in their situation that they find themselves in, we can deal with life or we can blot out life. That's what man's saying today. That's the immorality of it all, my friend. And the unscripturalness of it all. But I want to tell you tonight that men fight for life. In war situations, they defend life in peacetime. They work for life in daily employment. They dream for life. They eat for life. At all times, they desire life. And yet, so many try to be satisfied with a mere existence, whereas Christ offers the bread of life. If you're searching for life among this world's treasures and pleasures, lift your eyes to the one who holds the secret of life in all its fullness. Christ is the living bread. Verse 51. That came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Sadhu Sangar Singh was distributing gospels in the central province of India. He came to some non-believers, non-Christians, on the train. He offered them a page of John's Gospel. Just a page. And the man took it and tore it in pieces in anger and threw the pieces out of the window, the train. That seemed the end, but it so happened in the providence of God. There was a man anxiously seeking for truth walking along the railway track that day. And he picked up, as he walked along, a little piece of paper. And he looked at it, and the words in his own language were these, the bread of life. He didn't know what it meant, and he inquired among his friends, who said, I'll tell you what it means, it's from that Christian book. You must not read it, or you'll become defiled. But such was his hunger. He sought it out, and he went and bought himself a New Testament. And he avidly read through the New Testament until he came to the Gospel of John. And he was shown where the sentence occurred. Our Lord's words, I am the bread of life. And as he studied it, the light flooded into his heart and he was saved and became a great preacher of the gospel. That little bit of paper through God's Spirit was indeed the bread of life to that hungry soul. Will you partake of the bread of life tonight? In the providence of God, you're here tonight, in this service, under the sound of God's word. The Lord says to you, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And if you come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I plead with you to come, you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. By coming, you trust in Christ. By believing, you taste of Christ. Will you trust Him now? And taste and see, as the psalmist said, that the Lord is good. Trust Him. Taste Him. Take Him. And you'll go away eating and proving that Christ completely satisfies. Now, none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. Come and be satisfied. Real satisfaction. Not found in the pub. Not found in a bottle. of liquor or pills, not found in some immoral dive or some illicit relationship, not found in anything of this world, but found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Will you come tonight and enjoy real satisfaction? Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart thy word. And we pray that this night thou wilt speak to souls and lead them to Christ. Bring them, Lord, tonight out of their sin unto thyself. By thy Spirit draw them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.